So we're doing Parshat Vayetze, and we'll begin. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva ve'el Charana. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, we knew that already, but the Pasuk tells us again he left Be'er Sheva, and he went to the city of Haran, he's going to look for a Shidduch. Vayifga b'makom, and he bumped into the place. Now, makom could be a reference to the place. Makom could be a reference to God. We know that God is referred to as the omnipresent, and therefore he is called the Makom. God is also, conceptually, we say that he preceded the concept of space. He, so to speak, made the world in his space. He does not exist in our concept of space, but we exist within his presence. He made space for us to exist. And that's another reason why he's called the Makom, because he is giving us place, so to speak. The fact that that's, according to some, that's a concept of Tzimtzum, but you don't even have to go that far. He made space for the world. He created the world in his, so to speak, space. So the world is in his space. So, Vayifga b'makom could also mean he bumped into God. And Pgi'ah doesn't only mean to bump into. Pgi'ah could also mean to beg, to request, to ask. So our sages say that this pasuk Vayifga b'makom is a reference to the fact that he prayed. He asked God for his needs. Vayifga b'makom. He prayed that night, and this is where Yaakov instituted the prayer of Arvit. Vayifga b'makom. He bumped into the place. Vayalen sham, and he slept there. Kiva shemesh, for the sun had set. Vayikach me'avnei makom. He took from the stones of the place. Vayasem erashotav. He placed them by his head. Vayishkav b'makom ahu, and he lay down in that place. So our sages tell us he started going and he had kvitzas aderech. He made it all the way to Haran. And that's what it means, he bumped into the place. He came unexpectedly, he landed in Haran. He bumped into Haran, suddenly he's there. Ordinarily it should have taken him a while to get there, and God made it that he got there quickly. And he reached Haran and he said, could it be I passed the place where my father and my grandfather all used to pray and I didn't pray there? He decided, I got to get back. So God made it that swiftly he was back at the Temple Mount. So he bumps into the place. He finds himself back at the Temple Mount. He finishes praying and God says he came to my hotel, so to speak, my resting place, and he's going to leave without taking a nap by me. And God made the sunset early so he should stay there. Yeah. And he took from the stones of the place. So we know that when God creates things in this world, their purpose is, as we're learning right now in the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, the purpose right now, this is where we were holding, we ended last week's class, 2 weeks ago's class, last week we didn't have class, and where we'll be picking up this week's class. That everything God created is to be elevated, to be holy, to be spiritual. Now what about the things that are completely not spiritual? Well, those things are there to service that which is spiritual. So all these stones are on the earth. He picks up a bunch of stones, and each one says, I want to fulfill my purpose in this world. You know that there are representations of objects in heavens, meaning the grass has a mouth that represents grass, and the stones have a mouth that represents stones. So all these stones want to fulfill their purpose in this world. So that's why all the stones unify and they become one. And we have on tradition that he took 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes. And the fact that they unified and became one corresponds to the concept that the 12 tribes unify and become one Am Yisrael. Vayachalom, and he dreamt. Ve'inei sulam mutzav arza. Behold, there was a ladder placed firmly in the ground. Ve'rosho magea shamayma, and the top of the ladder reached the heavens. Ve'inei, and behold, malachei Elohim, angels of God, messengers of God, olim ve'yoredim bo, are going up and down this ladder. Our sages say that the angels that he saw going up and down, so Chazal discussed two going up, two going down. Our sages say that they went up to the heavens where on God's throne was engraved Yaakov's picture. One of the shapes that's engraved on God's throne is Yaakov Avinu's picture. So they went up to heaven and they looked at Yaakov's picture up on top. And they came back down the ladder and they look at Yaakov down below. And they said, what you doing sleeping? You have such potential, you're sleeping. So they wanted to kill him. V'hineh Hashem nitzav alav. That's the next pasuk. God stood over Yaakov and protected him. If not for that, then who knows what the angels would have done to him. They were upset. What you're doing, wasting your time. You have such potential. V'hineh Hashem nitzav alav. Pasuk Yud Gimel. God was standing over Yaakov. V'yomar. Or God was standing over the ladder. And God said, Ani Hashem. I am God. Elokei Avraham Avicha, the God of Avram, your father, Velokei Yitzchak, and the God of Yitzchak. Ha'aretz asher ata shochev aleha, the earth that you are sleeping on, that you are resting on, lecha etnen ozarecha, I will give you and your children.
Is this his first Nevuah?
So this is the first time we see that that Yaakov had prophecy, right? This is the first time we see Yaakov's prophecy. I will give you this land. So Yaakov Avinu is promised he will have the land of Israel. And we will see in next week's parsha, he wants to set up tent in the land of Israel. And they don't let him set up tent until he buys the land. And he has to pay a fortune for it. God told him you're going to have it. And he doesn't see that he has it. So this was one of the tests that Yaakov Avinu lived up to. That's what God said. I miss those that have been lost and you can't find people of their quality. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I told you things will go well for the Jewish people and you see things went bad. And right away you asked, God, where are you? What's going on? Look, Yaakov Avinu, I promised him here, he'll have the land of Israel, and he just wanted to pitch tent. We'll see next week's parasha, he had to pay a fortune just to pitch tent. Your seed will be like the earth of the land, you'll have many, many grandchildren, great-grandchildren, etc. Ufaratzta, and you will be strong, you will expand Yama Vakedma to the west and to the east, Vitzafona Vanegba and to the north and to the south, Venivrechu Vecha, and because of you they will be blessed, Kol Mishpechot Adama, all the families of the earth, Uvzarecha, and your children will also be a source of blessing to the families of the earth. Notice the other nations are called families, they're not called nations. The only one that's called a Goy is Am Yisrael. Goy Echad Ba'aretz. We are one nation on planet Earth. The other nations are called families. Our sages tell us, the verse says in Yeshaya and Isaiah, Az Titanag Al Hashem, if you keep Shabbos correctly, you will enjoy Shabbos in a godly way with God. V'achalticha, and I will feed you, God says, Nachalat Yaakov Avicha, the portion of Yaakov. Why? Because each of the forefathers was given a promise of the land of Israel. Yaakov was the only one that was given a promise, you will expand beyond the boundaries of Israel. God says, I will give you this land that you're sleeping on, I'll give you the land of Israel. And beyond that, you will expand north, south, east, west, or west, east, north, south, you will expand beyond the land of Israel. And that's called Nachala Beli Mitzarim. I'm giving you an inheritance, a portion of land without boundaries. And that's why we say in the songs of Shabbos, Beli Mitzarim, what do we say? Without boundaries. Beli Mitzarim Nachala. A boundary, an inheritance without boundary. So the Navi says, whoever enjoys Shabbos the way he should, he gets Yaakov Avinu's inheritance. He gets the inheritance that's without boundaries. God says, and I will be with you. You're concerned. Esav's chasing you from behind. Lavan's waiting to get his hands on you from the front. You have all these wonderful people you're going to have to deal with. God says, I'll be with you. Ushmalticha, I will watch you. Bechol asher telech, wherever you go. Vashivoticha el adama hazot, I'll bring you back. Poor Yaakov Avinu is going to Chutz Laaretz. His thoughts are, what am I going to do? How am I? I'm going to be in Chutz Laaretz. God tells him, don't worry, you'll make it back. Ki lo ezovcha, for I will not leave you. Even though in Chutz Laaretz we know one is more distant from Hashem, God says, I won't leave you. Ad asher imasiti et asher dibalti lach, till I fulfill that which I told you, that you'll be back here, etc. Vayikat Yaakov mishnato, so Yaakov wakes up. Vayomer, and he says, achen yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh. Behold, I see God is so present in this place, v'anochi lo yadati, and I wasn't aware of this. Vayira vayomar, and he was scared, and he said, manora makom hazeh. How awesome is this place? Why was he so scared? Because in prophecy he saw that Beit HaMikdash would be built there. And in prophecy he saw that the Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed there. And in prophecy he saw that the Beit HaMikdash would be rebuilt in the time to come. And that's why he says, how awesome is this place? Enze, it's not. What's not? I see that a situation where it's not, where it'll be destroyed. Kim Beit Elokim, and then I see that it will again be the house of God. Bezeshar HaShamayim, these are the gates to heaven. Vayishkem Yaakov b'boker. So, Yaakov says, I recognize this is the house of Hashem. Why? Yeah. Nope, it'll take a little bit too long, and we're short on time today. Maybe Thursday night. Yaakov Avinu is the third of the Avot. And the Navi tells us that the nations will say, let's go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of Elokei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov. Why the God of Yaakov? Why is the Beit HaMikdash called the house of the God of Yaakov, not the God of Avram or Yitzchak? So Chazal tell us, Avram Avinu came to this mountaintop, and he saw a mountain. He said, Behar Hashem Yireh, this mountain is awesome. This is a mountain where God is revealed. Yitzchak, he went to pray there, and it says he saw it as a field. He saw it as a place that's already providing. Yaakov Avinu came, and he saw a home. Yaakov Avinu says, this is the home of Hashem, and that's why the nations say, this is, let us go to the home of the God of Yaakov. And this shows the involvement from a mountaintop to a field to a home. Now this concept has more depth, but for now, we'll just see it on this level. Vayishkem Yaakov b'boker. So Yaakov gets up early in the morning. You notice the avos, the forefathers, were people who got up early. We learn from them. Yeah. Why? Really? So let's see. If you have to go and do something that's very uncomfortable, usually people don't have strength to get out of bed. Usually, if you know that today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to have your tooth pulled. So you wake up in the morning and you say, oh no, that day now, I need a little bit more cost to get out of bed. You barely get up. Usually the strength with which we get up is very connected to what we're going to do that day. If you know you're going on a trip, if you know today's the day you're getting married, today's the day you're getting engaged, so hopefully that morning you want to get out of bed. So hopefully the way it should be is you wake up and, oh, you don't want to stay in bed. Good, finally we've hit this day. But if it's a day when you go have to face Uncle Lavan, if it's the day you're going to have to leave for Chutz Laaretz, if it's the day you're going to have to leave the Beit HaMikdash, if it's a day that Avraham Avinu has to head out and shecht his son, that's not the day he wants to get out of bed. That's not the day he wants to wake up to. And if the Torah tells us that on those days they got up early, so I think we could understand that on an average day they also got up early. You don't think so? Okay. I understand what you're saying. Okay. I mean, there's more to it. Okay, we could say that, but
they get up early even though they have such a test, but we're still pointing out that they get up early on this day.
You're 100% right. Very often when Chazal tell us an individual case, it comes to tell us that every other one was not that way. You're right. The Chazal tell us there was this Amora who says, I never got undressed at home. I was always, when I had to get dressed and undressed, it was under the covers, it was so tzanua. Means it's an exceptional level of piety, and that not everyone can live up to this level. You're right. You're right. If Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says he never put his hand under his belt, his hands never went beneath his belt. He was always a very holy person, at least in the front. I mean, the person goes to the bathroom, he doesn't have a choice. That means Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, he was exceptional. Everyone else didn't live on that level. But I think in this instance, it shows us even in this case, we just have to think of their perspective on life. Meaning, every day is a day in service of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want to die because he values every living minute, every minute that he's zochet to be in performance of mitzvot. So then every day, you want to wake up early. Okay, but say that. I hear. So Yaakov Avinu wakes up early. Vayishkem Yaakov ba'bok. Yaakov got up early in the morning. Vayikach tevin asho samra ashotav. He took the stone. Notice, before they were a bunch of stones, now it became a single stone. Vayasam otam atzeva. And he placed it as a place for sacrifice before God. Vayitzok shemen al rosha. And he poured oil over its head. Interesting, where did he get oil from? What's called the head of the stone. He named the place the house of God. But really, the city initially was called Luz. Yaakov took a vow saying to future generations that when you're in a time of need, take a vow. Ordinarily, you're not supposed to take a vow. But here, Chazal tell us, why does it say the word Leimo? Yaakov Avinu was teaching all future generations, at a time of danger, take a vow. What's his vow? In yeh Elokim imadi, if God will be with me. Ushmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi yolech. And God watches me on this path that I am undertaking, that I am going on now. V'natan li lechem le'chol u'veglil boshem, will give me bread to eat and garments to wear. Sometimes a person could have all the bread in the world, but he can't eat. He's sick. He could have all the clothing in the world, but he can't wear them. Yaakov Avinu asked, give me bread, make me healthy enough to eat it. Give me clothing, make me capable of wearing it. B'shafti b'shalom in Beit Avin, I come home in peace. I come to my father's house. V'ayashem li l'elokim, God will be that potent force that protects me. V'ayven azot asho samti matzeva, then this stone that I've erected now, as a stone for sacrifices, Yiyeh Beit Elokim will become, I will erect over here a synagogue, a shul, a place of worship, a house of God. V'chol asher titeni, and everything you give me, aser asenu lach, I will take off a tenth. And from here we derive that if you want to give tzedakah, the maximum you could give is a fifth. Because Yaakov Avinu said, aser asrenu, a tenth, I will give a tenth. Why does he say twice a tenth? Because the maximum you give in tzedakah is twice a tenth, which is a fifth, right? 10% twice is 20%, which is a fifth. Did Yaakov Avinu see that the stone became one? Obviously he saw it. He knew Hashem would be with him, but he also knew that he was capable of sinning. He also knew that there can be other cheshbonot. Right now God tells him, I'll be with you. That means maintain your level right now, do everything you're supposed to, and hope, and I'll be with you. Yaakov Avinu didn't know if he would live up to it. Yaakov Avinu didn't know. Maybe there will be other calculations in heavens. And God tells us he'll do something. He tells the Jewish people, I'll take you out of Egypt and I'll bring you to the land of Israel. Then the Jewish people go and serve an idol. Then the Jewish people go and send spies and say, we don't want to go. God says, fine, you're not going. But God told them a year ago, God said, I'm bringing you to the land of Israel. But they didn't live up to their end of the deal. So Yaakov Avinu says, I'll try. But God, if you keep it up and we do make it together, we make it back, so then I will erect a temple over here. Now Yaakov Avinu didn't live up to his end of the deal. Yaakov Avinu didn't keep the neder. He came back to the land of Israel and he didn't go up and make a place of worship or bring the tenth, etc. And that's why he lost his wife Rachel. That's why his daughter got kidnapped the next six parsha. Everything that happened was a result of the fact that he wasn't quick enough to fulfill his end of the deal. Vaisa Yaakov raglav. So now Yaakov got rejuvenation. He lifts his feet. Vayelech atzav nekedem, and he goes to the land of the people of the east. Vayar enisio. Vehine ve'er basadeh. There was a well in the field. Vehine sham shloshad reitzon rovetzim aleh. And there were three flocks, three herds sitting around the well, because they give their flocks to drink from that well. And the stone was big on the well. And Yaakov Avinu is going to ask them, do you know Lavan, the son of Nachor? Now Lavan is really the grandson of Nachor. How come he's called the son of Nachor? Because a person can be called by the name of his grandfather. Now what happens if a person's father is an apikoris? Person's father's name is, let's say, Ehud. So he doesn't want to be called up to the Torah as Chaim ben Ehud. Everyone knows what kind of guy Ehud is. Look what he did today. So the guy's embarrassed. You're going to give him an aliyah, and he doesn't want to be called Chaim ben Ehud. So we say that you can call him Chaim, the son of his grandfather, based on this pasuk, that Lavan is called the son of Nachor, really was the grandson of Nachor, but nonetheless the Torah calls him the son of Nachor. Based on this, if a person has a father who's very sinful, and he's embarrassed to be called to the Torah with his father's name, so we don't embarrass him, we call him by the grandfather's name, that's also called Ben. That's this pasuk, that Lavan is called the son of Nachor, even though he was the grandson of Nachor.